to Across the Globe.
There was a general complaint of voter apathy. What do you think was responsible for that?
This man is telling America, you so close of hush puppy, you do this, so you close. No, so his deputy inspector general of police, what a shit.
99.3 Nigeria Info.
This is Morning Crossfire on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
And we're broadcasting live from Etimian Crescent, Victoria Island, Lagos, Nigeria. How are you today, Lagos? How are you doing? It's Tuesday, right? 10th of August 2021. This is the last hour of the Crossfire. Last week on the Crossfire, we discussed BDC's restriction, CBN's restriction of Forex to the BDCs, and a lot of other issues came up as regards the ecosystem of Forex in Nigeria. A lot of things. These areas came up because there was an apparent misunderstanding of what the ecosystem, what the Forex space, how it operates, who you should go to if you need Forex. There is huge gap in the knowledge of Forex in Nigeria here. As a matter of fact, we even had a caller who is an importer, apparently, from this contribution, and he made quite a number of points on that show, which obviously also created some kind of gap in the knowledge gap, so to speak, in the Forex space. So this morning, we will try as much as possible to educate and enlighten the public on what this space is all about, right? So to us, it looks like the Forex market, which was mainly used by large financial institutions in the past, has now evolved into individuals using this Forex space for trading, if you like. The world's largest financial market in terms of trading volume now, liquidity also, if you put value in it as well. Forex has evolved with a number of Nigerians trading huge amount of money every day, like individuals trade in Forex now. And you must have heard it on radio, you must have read it in the papers, you must have seen it. People say, come and train for Forex. What are they exactly asking you to come and train for? What are the knowledge that you need to keep yourself with? If you're a business person, what is the right way to access Forex for your business? Do you go to the banks? Do you go to the BDCs? Can you still access Forex through the BDCs? I mean, what if you have any issue with Forex, really? I mean, foreign exchange, other countries' currencies. What are the things that you need to do? Well, research shows that the Nigerian Forex Reserve saw a substantial increase to about $36 million in January 2021 when compared to $35 million recorded for December 2020, indicating that something is going on. According to a report, Nigerians deposit around $514 million quarterly. Now, this amounts to around 185,000 naira, Nigerian naira, or 85 million Nigerian naira, if you like. In Africa, it is only behind South Africa, where traders make an average deposit of about $742 in South Africa. Traders there, an average trader makes that amount. Now, it's also been reported that many local Forex training groups that you hear on radio and TV and all of that, training people dominate various parts of Nigeria. Why is this so? Well, I'm not going to delve much into this because I have Zeal Akaraiwe, a financial analyst, a financial advisor, and the CEO of Graham Black. He joins me live in the studio. Last week, he was over the telephone because Zeal is aware of what happened last week. We'll not get into it. Zeal, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you, Zeal?
I'm fine, thanks. Good morning, Sherry.
It's good to have you here.
Thank you very much.
Now, let's begin this way. This is Forex 101, Zeal. What is Forex, really? When people hear Forex, foreign exchange, what does it entail? because I want us to try and eliminate all kinds of miseducation or misunderstanding or wrong information. What does it mean, really? Because if you tell somebody, come and learn for Isaiah, Isaiah, Yahweh, they want to tell me how to do.
Well, I mean, simply put, foreign exchange is currency outside your home currency. Yeah, so any currency other than the Naira is foreign exchange, it's foreign currency. That's simply put. Now, but in Nigeria, we tend to use foreign exchange as a synonym for the US dollar. The US dollar is a foreign exchange, not the only foreign exchange, obviously, but we kind of tend to use the dollar more. So our economies, like the central bank likes to say, is dollarized. Yeah, so because we use dollars for almost as much as we use Naira.
Right.
You don't hear us talking much about euros or yen or South African rand or any other currency, but dollar is what we use synonymously as foreign exchange.
When you say dollar is what we use synonymously, why do we use dollars?
I mean, a lot. Most of our international trade, most international trade globally is transacted in dollars. So it's not just a Nigerian thing. If you want to import, most of the things you want to import, because you have to pay in an international currency that is quote unquote neutral, most international trade, not all, but most, is done in dollars.
Because you know why I asked? Traders would bear me witness. Even if they're going to China to go and buy, they will first convert to dollars, then to yuan, and then want to do their business. Some have partners in China that they can send money to and the rest of it. But like you said, it's like...
It's the currency of the world. Like you say, it has free convertibility. So there are some qualities of money that make it acceptable internationally. Things like liquidity, convertibility, lack of exchange controls, all those things. And the dollar... Not only dollar, I mean, the euro meets most of them, but we're more in tune with the dollar.
I'm going to go straight into what forex reserves, what it means to our local economy. Because when you hear Nigeria's foreign reserve has depreciated, it has depleted, or it had increased, what does it mean really for the local economy? Is it that we go and keep dollar somewhere and then what do we do with
it? I think it's the other way around, actually. It's not what the foreign reserve means for the local economy. It's how the local economy impacts the foreign reserves. So the foreign reserves is, it's, let's call it the residue of your balance of trade. So we export stuff, we import stuff. If you export more than you import, then look at like your savings. You earn 100 naira a month. And you spend 80 naira a month. At the end of every month, your savings account will have 20 naira. Because you earn 100, you spend 80. At the end of the month, you have a residual balance of 20 naira. You didn't go and put the 20 naira there. Just that your lifestyle is making sure you have 20 naira savings every month. If all of a sudden, in a month, you spent 120 naira instead of the normal 80 naira, but you still earn 100 naira, then your savings will go down by 20 naira. So it's not the impact of your savings on your lifestyle.
Right.
It is the impact of your lifestyle on your savings. That's what our foreign reserves comes to in a very simple means. We export and we import. When you export more than you import, the residual balance of trade sits in your foreign reserves. So your foreign reserve starts to go down. What it means is that you are importing more than you're exporting. And so you are drawing on those reserves.
Now we're going to thread this to what we talked about last week about the access to Forex by individuals who are doing business internationally. We spoke about techpreneurs, for instance, about how this new policy of Central Bank could maybe affect their operations one way or the other. And then we also spoke about businesses who have always known in all their dealings that the only place they can go and easily have access to Forex is the BDCs. And we got quite a number of questions. Please, Zeal, let's break these things down now. As it stands today, where can businesses and techpreneurs have access legally, in quotes, to Forex?
I like that you said legally. So let's break it down. Let me go back a little. And this is something not many people know, and even those that know don't really appreciate. Nigeria runs what you call an exchange control economy. And what that means simply is that we control access to foreign exchange. That's what exchange control means.
Okay.
The government controls access to foreign exchange. And so there is some requirement you must meet to be able to convert local currency to foreign currency. And that the minimum requirement is that you must fill a form.
Okay.
Either a form A for invisible transactions or a form M for visible transactions. The central bank has introduced a form Q, which is a variation of a form M. So I'll just stick to the form A and the form M. The form Q is subsumed for a sector.
Okay.
But it's still a form M type requirements for visible transactions.
Okay.
So no matter what you're doing in Nigeria, because we run an exchange control economy, i.e. the government controls everybody's access to foreign exchange, you must meet documentation requirements, and the documentation requirements vary from transaction to transaction.
Right.
But at the very minimum, you must fill a form A or a form M for all imports, visible or invisible. If you have other than your bank cards that you use online and your Naira bank card you use online and the bank allows you, which is a very small limit. Again, it is that limit is controlled by the central bank, the government.
Yeah.
Other than that, if you have ever bought foreign exchange without any documentation at all, then it's not legal.
Oh.
Now, let's forget for a minute that everybody does it. Let's forget that it is rampant. Let's forget that. But if you raise the point of legal, so we need to clear that up first.
Yeah.
For you to access dollars legally in Nigeria,
you
must fill a form at the very minimum. Even if you are going to the bank to buy dollars for your travel, what we call your PTA or BTA, right? You still fill that form. It's a one-page document. It's a very busy document. What's your passport number? Where are you going? Your name? Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
It's a one-page document. You fill it in less than a minute, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you fill the form. The bank approves it. They give you your money. Mm-hmm. They take your passport. Mm-hmm. And they stamp in your passport that you've bought this amount, the date and the rate. If that is not done, then that transaction is not an authorized transaction. So when we talk of BDCs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's not confuse the guys hanging around in hotels buying and selling money. They are not BDCs. A BDC is a registered entity, is a licensed entity. It is meant to be, and I'm picking my words there, meant to be regulated by the central bank.
Okay.
And they run under exactly the same documentation requirements as the bank.
Oh.
Exactly the same. Whatever document you need to give the bank to buy foreign exchange, you need to give a BDC to buy foreign exchange. So there are two things. Mm. One is that you have a lot of unlicensed foreign exchange traders that are dealing in what we call the parallel market or the black market or the unofficial market or the unauthorized market, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
They are unauthorized because you need a license to deal. Then you have people, the BDCs that have licenses to deal but are not dealing in compliance with the regulation. There's also that. So those are two different issues.
Right.
A lot of us are comparing the banks that are strictly monitored and regulated by the central bank to entities that are not regulated by the central bank.
It's looking like the BDCs are rarely regulated. Who is supposed to monitor?
The central bank is supposed to monitor, but as the last card, I think we have at least. Look at it this way. We have almost as many BDCs, if not more, as we have the total bank branches in the whole country. It's ridiculous. You have maybe 30 banks in Nigeria, and you have 6,000 BDCs, something like that. It's ridiculous. And the BDCs add no real value to the economy. There is nothing the BDC does.
No value?
Nothing.
How do you... No, I don't agree with you on that one.
Let me rephrase. Let me restate it.
Sheriff, I don't agree.
I said no. Let me finish.
Yeah.
The BDCs add no real value to the economy that a bank cannot do. Nothing. There is nothing the BDC does that your bank cannot do. Now, let's also not forget there is an issue of scarcity. right? And the best example, because a lot of us are familiar with petrol scarcity. When there's petrol scarcity, you go to a petrol station to buy, and they don't have. But right across the road from the petrol station,
you can see
this guy
there
with a jerry can.
With a jerry can, yes.
Now, I don't have petrol. I need petrol. The authorized dealer does not have petrol because there's a scarcity.
Yeah.
Then someone tells me, don't patronize the black market. It's kind of ridiculous. I need the petrol. So that's what happens. That's what's happening right now. There's a scarcity of foreign exchange.
You know, I was going to ask you that question that you just thought. See me, I just scribbled it down now. That it seems as though the BDCs themselves, I've heard this.
Don't
separately.
Use the term BDC. A BDC is a licensed and authorized dealer.
I am referring to them.
Licensed and authorized ones. Okay, fine.
I am referring, because I've heard that they sometimes collude with the roadside guys, then they create this scarcity, move this forex from them, from their own vault, to these roadside guys for whatever spread that they want to. Look at it this way.
The BDCs have two sources of foreign exchange that they sell.
Yeah.
One is the central bank. And two is travelers, people that travel into the country, they want to convert and all that.
Right.
If I have dollars and I want to convert, I have the right to go to a BDC or go to the bank. Well, the bank will offer me for 10. The BDC should offer me for 10, but they don't. They'll offer me 500.
Oh.
Because, and I mean, as a human being, basic human psychology, I have an asset and I want to get rid of the asset. I will get rid of it at the highest value I can.
That's right.
So I'll sell it to them. But if I sell it to them at 500, where do you think they would sell? They cannot sell it in the authorized market at 500. They have to sell it in the unauthorized market at 505 or 510. So that is part of the issue, because the central bank is not doing their regulatory oversight job on the BDCs. Now, when you talk about them colluding, I won't use the word collude.
Okay.
A lot of this collusion you're talking about, it's not really a collusion in the sense that people get BDC licenses as a tick box. I have a license to deal FX. Then they put the license away. They they don't comply with the regulations. And then that's why we think it's a collusion. In my experience, they are one and the same group of people.
Oh.
Yeah, it's not a collusion. It's not this person talking to this person and planning. They have a license. They are just not complying with the license.
You just said that they just stand by the roadside.
No. I said that's a different group of people.
Okay.
Yeah. So because I have to separate those that are licensed from those that are online. There are people that are unlicensed completely. There are those that are licensed but do not comply with regulations. Then there are those that are licensed that comply with regulations.
Wow.
So three different groups. Those that comply with regulations cannot buy money from you at 500 because they have to report. Those that do not comply do the same thing as those that are unlicensed but have a regulatory cover of I have a license.
Let's go to break, Zeal. Zeal Akariwe is here with me, and we're discussing Forex ecosystem in Nigeria. We'll take a quick break. When we return, we'll talk some more about what you need to know, who you need to deal with, and right now, what the climate is saying concerning Forex in Nigeria. We'll be right back. Stay with us here on Nigeria Info 99.3. We'll be back.
Morning Crossfire on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Welcome back to the show, Lagos, Nigeria. We're live from our audiovisual studios on Victoria Island. On Etimi and Chris and Victoria Island, Lagos, Nigeria. I'm Sheriff Quadri. Thank you for staying tuned. This morning we've been talking about the Forex ecosystem in Nigeria here. You can watch us live on Facebook. We're also live on YouTube. We'd love to hear your thoughts on our conversation. I mean, please share your thoughts on our conversation this morning, because it's quite vast and interesting what we've been able to touch all morning. Nigeria Info 99.3 is how you can join us on Facebook and on YouTube. Zeal Akaraiwe is my guest this morning. Zeal is a financial expert, a financial advisor, the CEO of Graham Black Group. Zeal, thank you again for coming on the show today.
Thank you very much.
Now, I think we should break the table once and for all this morning. And by the way, at this point, you can call us on 0700-993-993-993 and 01465-7190. We'd like to hear from you, Zeal. Let's dig in. We have, in the first half, highlighted that, of course, the BDCs are not regulated, right?
They are not properly regulated.
And that is something that we should take a closer look at. But on a large scale about the Forex, the BDCs, whatever name you want to call it, the informal sector, whatever name, what is really the problem in that space?
Well, I want... at the end of the day, right, once you subsidize anything and you have no accountability over that subsidy, then you are creating fraud. It is human nature psychologically to take advantage of that. So we subsidize foreign exchange.
Wait, we subsidize foreign exchange?
Well, by the definition of subsidy, yes, we subsidize foreign exchange. The fact that a lot of foreign exchange transactions happen at the parallel market at rates above 500, and yet the official rate is 410, that's a 25% gap. I don't see very many human beings that you see a 25% spot arbitrage that will not take advantage of it. And the reason it can be taken advantage of is that there is little or no regulatory oversight by the central bank. So whether, in another way of putting it is, the central bank licenses all authorized dealers. The central bank monitors them, should monitor them. Where the central bank is supplying them with cash and not enforcing their regulatory oversight, then the central bank becomes complicit in the fraud that's happening there. That is the definition of complicit. You know something is going wrong, you have the power to do something about it, and you don't. Then you're complicit in whatever happens there.
What can be done? What can the CBN do, really?
That's their job. I mean, that's their job.
These guys are so many, Zeal. I mean,
they're like everywhere.
Now, I even found them in the market, the Pepe market. They are there in between Pepe sellers. I mean, how do you that? Come on.
Where there's demand, right, for anything, there will be a market. And don't forget, before the scarcity, which started, we had a huge issue between 2016 and 2018.
Yeah,
things kind of stabilized, and then 2020, just as COVID hit, we now ran into this problem again. It was always, I don't think the 2016 problem was properly solved from a fundamental basis. So it was easily triggered again by COVID. But you find that in the past, this problem hasn't always existed. Central bank policies and regulations and oversight or lack of creates an enabling environment for these things. Why we have as many BDCs as we do, I don't understand. The central bank governor at the last MPC was complaining about the number of BDCs and the fact that they don't comply. And I'm looking at him thinking, he was a bank CEO.
Yeah.
If a bank CEO has an issue with a branch manager, he's not going to complain about him. He's going to remove him. So you give them the licenses. You have oversight over their actions. You regulate them. If they're not complying, the only thing I don't expect is that you complain.
Yeah.
Do something. But again, that still does not address the fundamental issue that there is a demand for an asset and not enough supply. And then you subsidize that asset without properly regulating it. The difference between the effective demand, which is at 500, and the supply, official supply, which is at 410, that 90 naira becomes arbitrage that anybody that can take advantage of it will attempt to. That is the fundamental issue we need to deal with.
Can we sanitize this space, though?
Can we, in terms of capacity? Yes. Will we, in terms of willingness
very unlikely.
Why?
The amount of political interference in that space is high. Mm. And in my opinion, Zeal's personal opinion, the autonomy of the central bank has been eroded.
Oh, really?
Yes. So the political interference in what the central bank does makes it very, very difficult for the willingness to exist, to sanitize the space. But again, back to the topic. Whatever anybody is doing with foreign exchange in Nigeria, if you are not fulfilling the documentation requirements, then you are not dealing in the authorized market.
Is that person committing a crime?
I won't go as far as committing a crime, but I will say it is outside the scope of the law.
That's a crime.
No, not everything outside the scope of the law is a crime.
Okay.
No, not everything.
Okay.
Crime involves a criminal action that has, the law specifies what is a crime and what is not. So you can break the law without committing a crime.
Okay.
But anyway, that's, like I said, it's a different issue.
Yeah.
But the law is very specific. If you're dealing foreign exchange, one of the two counterparties in the transaction must be an authorized dealer. That's the position of the law. Now, when you have a law that is not enforced, or when you have a law that the government itself understands cannot be enforced based on the actions of the government itself, the government becomes complicit and lacks all moral justification to even enforce the law. So those are the myriad of issues we have.
It can be quite overwhelming sometimes. I mean, in my head, I'm thinking all these things that Zeal has been saying, could we be dealing with a direct impact on the local economy? Because when people go to these informal guys to go and buy at 5:10, 5:20, to do business somewhere and bring in goods, at the end of the day, they will have to put back whatever it is that, you know, they put into.
Let's even take it a bit further, Sheriff. You have companies who are willing and able and have complied with all the regulation required and put in their requests for their foreign exchange. And there is no supply. And they have to join a queue. Some of them join the queue for 1 month. Some join the queue for 6 months, depending on the size, the volume, and the nature of the transaction. They've met all the demand, all the requirements. And then as we say, in their very before, they are seeing the exchange rate in 2019.
Yeah.
Well, let's start. Somebody had an investment and came into Nigeria in 2015 and converted his money at 160. Okay. Brought in $1 million. Had 160 million naira, and over 5 years has been able to do great business in Nigeria. And his 160 million naira today is 400 million naira. He has more than doubled. He has invested in the country.
That's right.
Now he wants to take his $1 million out.
Yeah.
His 400 million naira will only get him, in the market where there's liquidity, $800,000.
My word.
And he was watching the exchange rate devalue.
My word.
And he says, okay, you know what, bank? I don't want to do it again. Your country. Me, I don't tire. Give me my money. Let me go. They say, we can't give you this type of transaction. The central bank said we should prioritize this other type of transaction. He saw the exchange rate go from 160 to 199 to 285 to 360. And then someone tells him, oh, there's a market at 400 and I'll give you the money today.
Now.
And then you tell him, no, wait for the government. No. The structure of the economy makes it self-destructive structure. It's a self-destructive structure based on what the central bank is doing. This is a self-inflicted problem. Is it a problem? It's a real problem. It's a painful problem. We're all suffering it. But it's self-inflicted.
I mean, look at it, Zeal. Going back to the era of Sanusi Lamido, what's this gentleman's name again?
Soludo,
and now Emefiele. I would have thought that these are brilliant minds. These are very sharp minds.
Extremely.
They understand.
All of them. Extremely.
What is the problem?
There's a mistake that is often made in our central bank. It's very subtle. But it's very common. The central bank in my opinion, doesn't adequately understand that the rules of economics are not always the same as the rules of financial markets. Because people go to universities and they have PhDs in economics. Nobody goes to school to study. Nobody comes and says, I have a BSc in financial markets. But the financial markets exist. And the financial market has its own laws and rules that are significantly related to economics, but not always the same. And so when you see people that don't understand financial market rules, you see that they would generally make the same mistake. A lot of financial market rules are more in tune with human psychology than they are with how will I put it? They are much closer to behavioral economics than they are to your standard, this is how this thing works.
Yeah.
For instance, the market moves on sentiment. In economics, is demand and supply.
Yeah.
But in financial market, is sentiment. And that's why when you hear the word arbitrage, somebody senses something. Somebody says something wrong. And central bank...
Somebody does something happens, signs one document, it just reacts.
Yes. It's
sharply.
Very sharply. They will react to it first. The reality comes later. And that is the mentality of a trader. If everybody leaves this station and starts running, a trader will run first. While he's running, he will react first. And then he'll ask you, why are you guys running? And you say, oh, the station is on fire. The trader will look back and say, but it's not really on fire. They say, but everybody says it's on fire. You know what? The trader knows it's not on fire. But a trader is trained never to swim against the tide. He will continue running. But he'll maybe run a bit slower because he knows at some point it will reverse. So when the central bank at the MPC announced that they are not supplying dollars again to the BDC, from a financial markets, from an economic perspective, that's the right thing to do.
Okay.
From a financial markets perspective, the execution was the wrong way to execute. What the central bank did after the announcement, they should have done before the announcement. The market will react to that. That all of a sudden, the central bank is pumping dollars into the banks and telling the banks, sell it to the to travelers. And the banks would have... You don't have to tell the banks to advertise. Tell the banks, if I give you this money, you have 72 hours to get rid of it. Once you deliver the money to the banks will start telling people, come on, buy. I'm sure you've gotten texts and emails since then.
All of that should have happened
before the MPC announcement. So that when the central bank says, we've moved the dollars from the BDC to the banks, people have already seen the impact. Then there'll be no reaction. But the way they did it, and the communique was not even clear. People thought they were banning BDCs. They were just they were just diverting the cash from BDCs to the banks. So the cash supply has not changed. But the delivery of that message and the mode of execution, anybody in financial markets will tell you, you didn't do it effectively.
Indeed. Zio, let's take some calls. Let's take some calls. 0700-993-993-993 and 01465-7190. Please join our conversation. I can see your comments online. I'll take them in a moment. Nigeria Info. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Mr. Zio. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Please turn off your radio, please.
It pained me that I didn't tune very early. I have Ebuka on the line, but all the same.
Ebuka, thank you.
Ebuka, good morning.
Good morning, sir. So, because I'm bothered, I don't know. Looking at the processes of Form A, like you explained the other day, the Form A and the Form M, is the Form M a cost to us? Because looking at the queen and to get it, pay tax so many amounts of money, and it seems as if the people that are smuggling these goods, they are helping the people. Because their price is far lesser if you have to go the process of the Form M. So how do they think, how much is the CBN? Is a piece that is based on selfishness, self-interest? Just like you said, Soludo and all that are intelligent and all this. Are they not considering the state of the country, the state of the nation, the poor masses? Thank you very much for that.
Thank you, Bukai. Let's speak with Sam very quickly. Sam is in the corridor. Sam, morning to you.
Sharif, good morning, Sam.
Good morning to you, Sam.
Thank you, and good morning to the guests in this studio.
Good morning.
Thank you. The question I want to ask my brother, in view of the gloomy picture that you have painted as far as this bureau defense and the foreign exchange matter is concerned, the negative impact it has on Nigerian and on Nigeria economy. This is as a result of lawlessness, indiscipline, and impunity. Where did the box of this blame stop? Is it at the CBN or on the government of the Federal Republic of Nigeria? Please, can you explain to us?
All right, then.
Okay, let me take that. I like that question. I will put responsibility everywhere, including the citizens, and I would explain why. There's a lot of people who are aware of what they need to do regarding accessing foreign exchange, and they don't. For different reasons, there are people who will not access the official market because of all the documentation requirements, and they don't want to have to pay duty. And so to avoid paying the correct duty, they go through the parallel market, right? That's one.
Yeah.
Now, in many instances, the duty is not, I don't use a derogatory word, the duty is not efficient for consumption. So it is also, I mean, for instance, you have such a high duty on brand new cars.
Yeah.
We don't produce brand new cars.
We don't.
So why are you taxing what you don't? So there are a lot of all those things. So it's the entire system, the foreign exchange system, is not different from the Nigerian ecosystem. It's not different from, and I don't like using the word corruption. Right, I don't like using it. A lot of things are really down to inefficiency and mediocrity. Those things create loopholes. So the central bank in regulating the BDCs is inefficient. If they were efficient, we won't have this problem. A lot of people are satisfied, a lot of citizens, us Nigerians, were satisfied with mediocrity. And also a lot of us do not really care.
Exactly.
Sorry, let me land. A lot of us
be
don't
about the fact
care.
That we don't know much to
a
care.
A lot of us don't are ignorant. A lot of us don't care about what regulation or what the law says, and we only care for what is convenient. And that's the bane of our existence of as Nigerians. We want to do what is convenient. Even if what is convenient is against the law, we will justify it. So when I say this, I'm not saying the government has a massive role to play, and they have, in my opinion, in this regard, done suboptimally in their role. But we all as individuals also have our role. We don't want any inconvenience in our lives. And so we're all very happy to break the law as long as it's convenient. So it's everybody. This is the entire system. This is the entire system that's having the issue.
Zeal.
I don't like that he said it was gloomy. I'm just, this is, look, the we all kind of know, I mean, 20 years ago,
yeah.
I mean, I have on my passport, the first time my passport was used to buy, we used 500 Naira to buy $700 then.
Imagine
things
that.
Have changed, yeah. So.
We must go now, Zeal. It's been awesome having you.